Good morning, Jim.
Good morning.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
How's everybody? So I have to tell you a story. And there was a movie that came out in 1977, and it went on to be a franchise, a bunch of movies. Anybody remember what that might be? What?
Star Wars.
Star Wars. So do you know that... that was Cheryl and I's first date, was to Star Wars. Richard probably remembers that. So I found, and I found out later after we married that she hates science fiction. But you know, that's the romantic devil that I am, to take a date to Star Wars. But I was thinking more about that. You know, so basically I should tell you, may the fourth be with you today. That's really stupid. But. In that movie, there's some spiritual undertones. Anybody recognize that? There's a character we most of us know, Darth Vader. He's kind of the devil entity. And then you got Obi-Wan Kenobi. He's the good guy. He's the Christ figure in the deal. There's a scene. This is going somewhere, I promise. There's a scene where they are fighting with their lightsaber, you know, that deal. They're fighting with their lightsabers, and Obi-Wan Kenobi is blocking every thrust that Darth Vader is throwing. He's blocking them all. And then he says, in the middle of the fight, he says, "Strike me down, and I will become more powerful than you can imagine." And then shortly after that statement, Obi-Wan Kenobi lowers his sword and allows himself to be struck down. And we, later in the movie, his spirit communicates with, who am I thinking of? Yeah, Luke Skywalker, sorry. It's been 1977, folks, give me a break. So my point is, see the Christ correlation there? Allowing himself to be struck down, sending the Holy Spirit. That's what Christ did for us on the cross. Yes? You had no idea you were going to run into a Star Wars analogy this morning, did you? Let's invite the Holy Spirit. We have a Savior who allowed himself to be struck down for our sake. And then he rose from the dead. He sent his Holy Spirit, and he's with us today. Let's pray. Father, you are good. We are so humbled that you love us. We rejoice that even the grave could not hold you. And because the grave could not hold you, it cannot hold us because we're in you. Would you send your Holy Spirit into this place? Would your name be high and lifted up? In Jesus' name, amen. Rise if you're able. Let's worship.
Good morning, good morning. As he said, if you will, please join us.
May the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by. There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. I've got a home in glory, land that outshines the sun. I've got a home.
There's a better home awaiting.
seated. Children, if you will stay put for just 1 second, we have a few things before the kids get sent off to children's night.
All right, so lots of cool things going on today. We'll be honoring our graduates here in just a moment, but I wanted to tell you, in the early service, we had three members join the church, the Bartletts, Walker, Lindsay, and Elsie Bartlett. Yes, it's okay. You can clap in church, you can laugh in church, all kinds of good stuff. And so Karen Keel, I'm looking for Karen. Karen, come up. Karen's coming up. And the Rich family, Colt, and Jamie, and Kinsey, and Kyler, if y'all will just, all of y'all will just stand right here in front. This crew comes today, all of them, comes today to join our church. Just slide in there.
They left me.
Okay. Are we going to have to practice this next time? Okay. I'm going to try to get out of everybody's way. So, you guys all come today to join our church, and we're excited about that. Something nobody knows, right? Can I say it now? Okay. We have one that's going to also be baptized at the end of the service. Yeah. And that's a surprise. Where's Donald? Donald, you didn't know, did you? You did? You told Donald? Okay, all right, anyway. So we're excited about having all of y'all as joining our church, and we will baptize you at the end of the service. I ask you now, is Jesus Christ still your Lord and Savior? And will you be loyal to the church with your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness? Amen. We welcome you. You know, God, I'm telling you, God is moving through families in our church. I'm seeing it many times. I'm just seeing it there, and so it's exciting. That's very, very exciting. So, Kenzie will be baptized at the end of the service, so I hope that you will stay for that. And Brent, come on up, and he will take care of honoring our graduates.
Good morning again. So, one of the things that we've done for, I don't even know, way longer than I've been here, and most churches do this, is we have Senior Sunday where we come and celebrate the seniors that are graduating high school, and then we also take a moment just to pray over the seniors in college that are graduating as well. And so one of the things we enjoyed getting to do is just joining and celebrating as a church family to do so. And so I've had questions throughout the years, and so I figured I'd actually show what we give and explain what we give to all these seniors, because everybody's like, well, there's a lot of stuff up there. Like, and there's typically something else up there, but we decided to just give it to them at the tables. So every year we gift our high school seniors with a few different things. First off, we try to do a Bible like most people do, like most churches do. And the girls get a Bible that is basically, it's called a She Reads Truth Bible. We've been giving these Bibles out for a long time. 4 or 5 years now, and every year I always ask the girls to get them after a couple months of letting them look at them and read them, and they're always like, this Bible is really, really cool. So we really, really enjoy the opportunity to give those. And then for the guys, they are just now starting to build a He Reads Truth Bible, and we might transition to that in a few years when that becomes a thing. But they, for a long time, we've been doing just an ESV study Bible for the guys. And so that is what we give. We give Bibles, which, as you can see, there are five of them out for the five seniors that were graduating from high school and celebrating today. And then we also give them a book. It's a small, pretty easy read book, but it's How to Stay Christian in College. And I've given this book out for 10 plus years now, every year for the seniors. It's a really, really easy to read book, but it has some just, like, you have to Faith is no longer drug by your parents. You have to get out and do it yourself. And so what does that look like when you step out into the next step of life, whether that be school or the workforce or military or whatever? That has to become yours. And so we do that. And then the Threads of Heart Ministry that you guys have been hearing a lot about as of late also said, hey, we want to chip in this year. And so the Threads of Heart Ministry cross-stitched bookmarks for each of the seniors' Bibles. And so they say, the Lord be with you. And it has the year, and then it has a WMC at the bottom for our church. And so it's just a small way that we get to do it. And then finally, I like to give a practical gift. I don't know about y'all. Most colleges, especially as they got older, most colleges are getting a little better now. But college drinking water used to be sketchy at best. And it's getting better. There are a lot of universities that have stepped up and kind of made that better, but we still like to give a practical gift. And so on all the seniors' tables, they also got a small personal-sized Brita water filter that they can put in their mini fridges on campus, because good water is good water, and sometimes campus water is just not cutting it. And so it's just a practical gift that we throw in there as well. But it's a great honor for us to get to celebrate with all the seniors. And at this time, I will call up the five that we are honoring this morning that are graduating from high school, and their families are welcome to come up with them for the prayer time after we do this. So we're going to do this in order. Our first senior that we are recognizing is Jonah Duke. And you can just stay over there. Okay, and our second is Jaren Flores. Man, he needs to be on the microphone, not me. Our third is Audrey Perez. Oops, I went out of order, and I said I was going to go in order. My bad. Sorry, the Bible before that was Ava McClendon. And then our last one that we are celebrating today is Kenzie Rich. And so as we normally do, we're going to take a moment just to honor and pray for these graduating seniors. We're going to invite the families of these seniors to come up and surround them if you'd like to. Also, any other families that, because we are a church family, so if there's other people that want to come up and pray over specific kids, that's fine. But we're also going to, if there's any college students here that are also seniors that are graduating, we'd love to honor you as well. If you'd like to come up, we'd love to pray for you as well. And then finally, we also ask, as always, we do our best to honor every senior. Sometimes we have senior families walk in, and we don't get a ton of chance to interact with them over years, but we still want to honor you. So if there's any seniors in this room that are not represented up here, we also have Bibles and books and everything for you as well, if there are any, and you'd like to come up and be honored as well. I think we did good. Cool. So if any college seniors would like to come up, or the families of these graduating seniors, you can come up, and then Jeff is going to pray over them.
Reagan, get up here, boy. Reagan's graduating from McMurray. And by the way, Reagan set the conference hammer throw record this past week, right, buddy? Yeah. Yeah. So we're excited about that. Any other college graduates or to-be graduates that we're missing? Okay. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these students, these graduates. Lord, I just I pray, God, that I pray blessing on them as they go forward. I pray favor as they, whatever they're going into, whether it be college or a career or the military or some sort of trade job, we pray blessing on them and favor on them. God, I just I thank you for sharing them with these families, sharing them with us. I pray, God, for moms and dads and grandparents that maybe there's going to be some grief letting go and sending their kids away. Lord, would you would your Holy Spirit comfort and guide that those families and in that those situations? Lord, we need you. We love you. We know that that you go before us. So would you go before these students as they go into the next chapter of their lives, where they take Jesus with them, and it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. As they clear the way, children, if you'll come forward and meet Miss Carlene down at this end. Come ahead.
Good morning. Thank you, Arliss. Good to see everybody this morning. I want to encourage you to go ahead and check into the service through our app. Quick report on the cake and pie auction that took place this last Wednesday night. Man, it was a huge success. Had lots of fun. I'm not going to lie to you, I kind of got caught up in the moment. And I should have known something was up when I walked in the fellowship hall and there was an ATM machine in the fellowship hall. I should have known something was up. But anyway, we bought some really good pies, one of Joyce Collins' pie and one of Naomi's pies. And I know you didn't spend that much on the ingredients of those pies, I'm just saying, but had a great time. The gross amount that was raised was $8,000. And youth ministry leadership decided they want to give 10% of that to the building fund, which was $800. And with our dollar-for-dollar match for the, throughout the end of this year, that was a $1,600 gift to the building fund. And then after all expenses, there was $6,000 left for the youth ministry for this summer. So thank you, everybody that came and participated in that. Next event on the calendar is a discovery class, which will take place in 2 weeks in the church office with our pastor. If you want to know more about our church, you can meet with him then. And then Vacation Bible School is right around the corner. It starts on June the 15th. You can already see some beginnings of that that week with the decorations that are popping up all over the church. So this morning as we pray, I want to walk us through a prayer exercise. There's a prayer model called the ACTS, A-C-T-S model, and it's an acronym for Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, and Supplication. And it's a prayer model that I don't use often, but I was reminded of it this week, and it's really beneficial to help people in prayer when they kind of get stuck and don't really know what process maybe to follow. But I want to lead us through this, and I'm going to give a little bit of a brief explanation about each point, and then I just want to encourage you just to engage with the Lord as we walk through this. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. So as we spend time in adoration, we need to focus directly on God, adoring Him for who He is, meditate on his names. He's Emmanuel, light of the world, bread of life, Lamb of God, King of kings, and Lord of lords. Meditate on his character. Meditate on the roles of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Worship and praise him with your heart and your minds. Let's take about a minute to do this. Recognize him for who he is, it exposes us to our failures, our inadequacies, exposes the sin in us. Our pastor is going to preach on scripture out of Isaiah that is a great example of this reality. So let's spend a little time confessing our shortcomings, our failures, and our sins before him. Thanksgiving, we thank the Lord for salvation. We thank him for the forgiveness of sins. We thank him for life, protection, provision, for open doors and opportunities, and thank him for our families. So spend just a little bit of time giving thanks to the Lord. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition or supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Let's spend a little bit of time asking the Lord for divine assistance, divine help to meet our needs, the needs of others. Let's ask him for wisdom to help us with our daily life issues and struggles, and to work on our behalf and on behalf of others in our circle. So, Father, I thank you for opportunities that we can just be still. Psalm 46:10 says to be still and know that you are God. And, Lord, would you give us the desire, would you help us to carve out this time possibly even daily, that we can pursue you. And for some of us, maybe it's been a while, maybe it's been a week. But God, I'm just so grateful that you allowed us to do this morning. We love you, we praise you, and we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Church, I say this every week, but thank you so much for your financial faithfulness. It allows us to do lots of ministry and just to love on people on behalf of Christ. Giving options are on the screen. Also, the offering boxes are by the doors. If you have a prayer need, please fill out a prayer request card, drop it in the offering box, or connect with somebody after the service that will be available up front for prayer. Let's continue to worship the Lord.
Blessed Redeemer.
Good morning again, church. Also, I think I failed to welcome our live stream worshipers, so welcome to you guys. Glad that you are worshiping with us at home. If you are a guest this morning, we're especially glad that you're here. Certainly, many of you may be honoring these graduates, and we're glad that you're here and spending your Sunday with us. If you are our guest, there's a card in the seat pocket in front of you, the blue stripe, and it says guest registration. I'd love to meet you. You can fill that out, and I'd love to meet you down at this end of the foyer after church. So please come and meet me. Turn with me, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne. This is Isaiah, this vision that he had. I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," Isaiah cried. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are indeed welcome here. We need you. We need you, Holy Spirit, to speak. Speak in power and authority and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So today's message is, "Here I am, send me. Here I am, send me." So I did a little research. Isaiah, this chapter 6, these 8 verses that we just read. First, let me kind of set the stage with Isaiah. Isaiah, and if you go all the way back to chapter 1 of Isaiah, the very first verse of this book says this: the vision concerning Judah and Jerusalem that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah. So the book of Isaiah, there's this prophet, Isaiah, and he was the prophet during the reign of these kings. And I really had never kind of researched Uzziah until kind of preparing for this message. But it's interesting, you can go to 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and you can read all about Uzziah. But he was a good king over Judah. And he did many wonderful and great things. And he reigned for 52 years from the time he was 16 to the time he was 68. And it was in the mid to late 700 BC was when his reign. And he was a good king until his pride overtook him. All these good things that he was accomplishing, these battles that he was winning, and these different things that he was accomplishing, pride overtook him. He entered the temple, the tabernacle, to burn incense, which was the job of the priests, and he was not allowed to go in there, even though he was the king. But in his arrogance and his pride, he entered in and began to burn the incense without authority of the priests. The priests confronted him, and God struck Uzziah with leprosy, and he had leprosy until the day he died. So there's this lesson to be learned that he was a good king doing great things. God was blessing him until he got a little full of himself. Can anybody besides me kind of learn anything from that? So Isaiah, who is the prophet during the time of Uzziah and these other kings, he writes this passage, this vision that he had in verse 6, and we're just going to kind of dive in here, and I want to, there's so much that could be unpacked in these eight verses that I'm not going to dig that deep. I want to hit the highlights, and here's, because I think they're significant. The first thing is, as we encounter the Lord, and that's what Isaiah is saying, that he saw the Lord seated high and exalted on the throne. So he's having this encounter with the Lord in this vision. We acknowledge that he is holy. Not only acknowledge, but we understand, and it becomes very obvious that he is a holy God. Isaiah, verse 1, I saw the Lord seated on a throne high and exalted, and a train of his robe filled the temple. He's seeing this great vision of the Lord, and the angels that are flying around are crying one to another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. So who is Isaiah seeing? Who is he seeing? Well, if you jump forward about 600 or 700 years to the New Testament and in the Gospel of John, John says in verse 12, I think I've got this listed in your handout, verse 12, verse 41, he refers back to this moment that Isaiah is talking about, this vision, and he says in verse 12, verse 41 of chapter 12, he says, Isaiah saw Jesus's glory and spoke about him. He's seen Jesus, the pre-incarnate Jesus, high and lifted up on the throne, and the angels are proclaiming, he's holy, he's holy, he's holy. And at the sound of their voice, it says that the whole place shook and smoke filled the place. And there's all sorts of symbolisms that we could unpack in there. I'm gonna skip it for today. But let me say this. Last week we talked about Thomas. And I encourage, if you missed last week, go back and look at that, because I think God has something to tell us there. But Thomas, we know Thomas is doubting Thomas, and he doubted that Jesus had truly been resurrected, and he wasn't there the first time Jesus appeared to the disciples. And he says, unless I can put my finger in his hand, in the nail scars in his hand, and my hand into his side, I will not believe. A week later, Jesus appears to him, and Jesus says, hey, Thomas, put your finger here. Put your hand in my side. And it doesn't, I found this interesting last week, it doesn't say Thomas did that. At that, when Jesus appeared and he had this encounter with Thomas, Thomas bowed down and said, my Lord and my God. When we encounter Jesus, he changes things. It becomes very obvious that he is God and we're not. Anybody else ever had that moment? When we realize he's God, he's holy, he's righteous, he's above anything that we can imagine, and we're not. And we find ourselves standing before him. Perhaps if we have that encounter, perhaps we're like the angels crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. And then besides the fact that we recognize and acknowledge that he's holy if we encounter him, when we encounter the Lord, we are convicted of our unworthiness. We're convicted of our unworthiness. So Isaiah, he has this vision. He sees the Lord high and exalted. He hears the angels proclaiming a lot of stuff going on there in that place, in that vision. And here's Isaiah's response. Woe to me, I am ruined. There's this moment where Isaiah realizes God is God, and I'm exposed. My brokenness, my sinfulness, is exposed before him. Woe to me, Isaiah says, I am ruined. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. So not only did an encounter with Jesus reveal Isaiah's unworthiness, his sinfulness, his brokenness, but also the people, the nation, the issues that they were dealing with as a nation, he recognized that they were ruined as well. They were broken as well. Now, I was telling the early service that, you know, when pastoring here a long time, many of you who've been here, probably, oh, he's going to tell his testimony again, so I apologize for that. But some people have been here 6 months or 2 months or maybe a year. And I really need to, this encounter that Isaiah had with the Lord, I had a similar encounter with him. And I need to tell you about it. I mentioned it last week, October 1991. I'd been raised in the church and felt there was a ministry called the Walk to Emmaus still, and it's still around. And I felt drawn to go to that. I really didn't even know what it was. I'd seen the impact that it had in a lot of people's lives, and I just felt drawn to that. So it was at Camp Buttman, which is where our youth go to camp, and great camp out here west of town, out there in the hills. And I'm thinking, and I didn't know anything about it. I'm thinking, Walk to Emmaus, it's out there at Camp Buttman in the hills. I packed hiking boots and a flashlight, and I mean, we're going to do some hiking. Well, God didn't have a hike in store for me that weekend, but he had an encounter with me that weekend. There was a service there during the weekend, and I was invited, all of us were invited, if we wanted to come forward and say a word that was symbolic of something that we wanted to let go of, something that we wanted to release to the Lord. I came up and I said my word, and the only way I know to describe it is I had a Holy Spirit encounter with the Lord in that moment. And I began to weep, and I'm not saying that I began to cry. I began to weep. I've never before or after cried like that. There was a weeping. It was like, I was telling the early service, it was like I had this plug in a toe, and the Lord just kind of popped that plug, and all the stuff that didn't need to be in me was just drained out. And it wasn't a moment. For me, it was several minutes, and I could not stop sobbing, because I felt, as Isaiah must have felt, I encountered the Lord, and I recognized he's holy. He's holy. And he's mighty. And I felt exposed before him. And I had a lot of sin in my life. I was a crappy husband. Sorry for the word crappy, but anyway, I was. And I just felt exposed before this holy God. And he had every right to zap me, but instead he embraced me. His nail-scarred hands, even as he's revealing, as Isaiah, woe to me, I'm ruined, I'm a man of unclean lips. I was a man of a lot more than unclean lips. So he's revealing who he is and who I am, and yet in that moment I felt embraced with nail-scarred hands. When we encounter the Lord, I mean really encounter the Lord, he changes things. He changes things. He frees us. You know, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but God came that we might have life, abundant life and peace. And I'm telling you, I had peace in that moment, and still do to this day, some 34 years later. When we encounter the Lord, he changes things. And I was telling somebody, I hope nobody's offended by this, but you know that speaking of, we were talking about baptism, and I said this, a prayer in a bath doesn't save us. Okay? A prayer in a bath doesn't save us. The blood of Jesus saves us. Baptism is a sign of what Christ has done, not what we've accomplished, not what we've done, but what he's done and what we are accepting and saying, yes, I want that. So there's this, when we encounter the Lord, we recognize his holiness and we recognize our unworthiness. And then finally, when we encounter the Lord, we are empowered to be sent. Not only empowered, I wrestled with that word, what word I wanted there. I think we're empowered, we're inspired, we are called. There's so many things, but even commanded is another word. But to be sent. And I said this at Easter, the message of the gospel, the resurrection of Christ, is not just something to believe, it's something to be shared. All throughout Scripture. So in this encounter, Isaiah, he sees the Lord high and lifted up. He knows he's holy. He knows that he's a man of unclean lips and he's undone. And yet, as he must have felt the Lord embrace him, he hears that voice. He heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Who's us? I thought this was just the Lord. Us, the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Who will go for us? God. And Isaiah says, I will. Here I am. Send me. Because I've encountered you. I know who you are. You're holy. And I'm not. And I'll go. Matthew 28, when Jesus is resurrected and the women find the tomb empty and the angel says, "He's not here. He's risen just as he said he would. Now go quickly and tell his disciples." The immediate response to the empty tomb is the task of go. That's what's next. That's what follows the empty tomb. Go. Go tell somebody. You ever heard that before? Go and tell somebody. Go quickly and tell his disciples. John 21. Jesus has this conversation with Peter, the resurrected Jesus, and we know that story. Three times Jesus says, "Do you love me?" Each time Peter says, "Yes, I do." He said, "Jesus, go feed my sheep. If you love me, act, do something. Go feed my sheep. Go love people." And then Jesus gives the Great Commission. Matthew 28, he says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples." We are empowered to be sent. So as we come to partake of this, the Lord's Supper, you know, I say this a lot, but the night that Jesus, he's sitting around and he's sitting with his disciples, these same ones that betray him, deny him, desert him. He was washed their feet and he comes to the meal and he breaks the bread and he says, "This is my body broken for you." And then he takes the cup and he blesses it and he says, "This is the blood of the new covenant poured out, the cup of the new covenant poured out in my blood." And what's interesting, Jesus says, as we partake of this meal, so as we partake of this meal today, the instruction is, Jesus says, remember him. Remember that he is holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. That's what we do. We come as a redeemed people confessing our sin before a holy God. So if you would do that now, if you just in your own heart, go ahead and bow your head in your own heart, just confess your own personal sin before our holy and loving God. Jesus, you are holy. May this bread and this cup be for us the body and blood of Jesus. We pray an anointing on these elements as a reminder, as we remember who you are and what you've done. We remember you. Church, in the name of Jesus, you are forgiven. Amen. If those who are serving will come forward to receive. Christ our Lord invites you to his table. It's not my table. It's not our church's table. It's the Lord's table. If you've confessed him as your Lord and Savior and you've repented of your sin, you're welcome to come and partake with us for Holy Communion. There's two stations here and two stations over here. You'll be given a piece of bread. Dip the bread into the cup and partake in that way. If you'd rather have the individual elements, you can come to the center aisle. Go ahead and take those back to your seat and open the bread first. Partake of those. You can discard your empty as you leave. Jesus loves you. He is holy. He is calling you. Come. Thank you. Okay, Kenzie, come on out, girl. Which step? Okay, family, friends, cohorts, come on up. Y'all just get right in front. There we've got cameras that they can still see. All right. So, Kenzie, you ready?
Yes.
Okay. So we talked some about all this moment and how the blood of Jesus saves you. So we have to confess that we are sinners, or do you admit and confess that you are a sinner? You want Jesus to forgive you of your sin?
Yes.
You want him to be your Lord and Savior and live in your heart?
Yes.
And you want to be baptized?
Yes.
Okay. You made 100. You're a graduate. I knew you would. Okay. If you'll sit right there and hold your nose. Kenzie, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Stay right there. Yes. Yes. And it's warm water. I told them to ice that down, but they didn't do it.
I took care of it.
You did, okay. If y'all, we also talked about how the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us, and so we're going to pray that. If y'all can reach Kenzie, put a hand on her. If you can't, the person in front of you. Okay, let's pray. Father Jesus, I'm so blown away at your goodness. I'm so blown away that the work that you have done and are doing in Kenzie and her family, God, how you love us so much. I pray that you would fill her with your Holy Spirit. I thank you, Jesus, that you died on a cross because you love her. Fill her with your Spirit. Empower her to be a mighty warrior for you going forward in her life. I pray blessings on her and her family and her friends. All Father, this is a... We drive a stake in the ground today, and we say, this one right here belongs to you, Jesus. We pray it in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. She's got a towel for you. Church, if you'll rise if you're able for this benediction. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, church.
Yes.
That's good news.
Yes.
And he loves you. He's holy and he loves you. Go and tell someone. We're dismissed. God bless you. This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. And wash me as white as snow, in Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.